Welcome to the DAO of Badass exclusive audio training on how to get into the game. We have Joshua Pellicer, the author of the DAO of Badass.
Woot. I am here.
He's wooting.
I'm wooting. So thanks, Brad. I wanted to sort of just note that this is an exclusive interview and audio training content that I produced just for people who want to learn how to get back into the game after a breakup or after being single, you know, or being single now after being in a relationship for a very long period of time. And so one of the biggest questions that we see and that I've heard is, you know, a guy who just got divorced or just got out of a long-term relationship is like, you know, it's exactly what they say. How do I get back in the game? How do I get back into this? I haven't dated in 3 years, or I haven't dated in 4 years or 10 years sometimes, you know. So how do you go from, you know, basically being a eunuch, which is what happens whenever you're in a relationship, you like put your balls in a box and then only your girlfriend gets those things, you know? How do you go from that to turn the charm back on and feeling like you're stepping back into your manhood sort of as a single man? Now, I know a lot of guys, I'm in a relationship myself including, but you know, you don't always give up your manhood when you're in a relationship, but I almost guarantee you that if the relationship just ended, something probably happened to end it, and that probable thing that happened was most likely that you sort of gave up on continuing to produce value, meaning that continuing to produce social value, as in talking to other people and communicating, and it became too much about you and your relationship and less about you and your girlfriend or wife communicating to the outside world together. There's usually by the time that guys have been, you know, gotten broken up with or just got out of a relationship or broke up with their girlfriend or divorced or whatever, by the time that finally happens, they've already been out of contact with the rest of the world for usually several years. And typically, you know, the hard part is getting over your ex in the first place. And I let my brilliant friends like Dan Dennick handle how to actually get through the breakup process and how to get over your ex-girlfriend or your ex-wife, no matter what the case may be. But once you do that, regardless of who you are, at some point, as men, we've all went through this process. We've all been from the place of saying, oh, look, you know, I just broke up with a girl, or she just broke up with me, or just got divorced, whatever it is. We're going to go through this process at some point, and most of us already have. I mean, we need to know exactly how to get back on your feet fast. Otherwise, you know, you'll be sitting around kind of moping and you'll be letting a lot of opportunities pass you by. The only thing that we're running out of here is time on the planet Earth with our lives. We have unlimited resources for everything else for the most part, but time is the only thing we're running out of every second of every day. So you cannot waste time. You have to get this shit handled now and you have to get back on your feet quick. But you don't want to get back on so fast that you skip over some really crucial steps. So I'll tell you what a lot of guys do, Brad, and I just, you know, I'll talk to you back and forth through this and share your insights where you feel that's important. But what most guys do is as soon as they break up with their girlfriend or they get broken up with, if they get broken up with, usually there's like a grievance period, you know, where it's like, oh, no, what's wrong? And you try to get your girlfriend back, whatever. But at some point, every guy goes, holy crap, I'm single. Like, I can do whatever I want to now, you know. So usually what happens is a guy will go out, get drunk, hook up with some random chick, get really needy with that chick because they're not used to interacting with women anymore, and then ruin that interaction with that girl, and then come running back to their ex and beg them to take them back. This is really, really common process. So what ends up happening is your self-esteem gets just punted like crazy. There's nothing left because you had a girl, you left her, you went to another girl, you hooked up with her, got really needy right after that, tried to jump straight into another relationship, moved too fast, didn't follow the system because you haven't been familiarized with the system in such a long time. And then once that didn't work, felt worthless, and most guys go, I'm not going to find another girl better than this other girl. I better go back and get her, your ex-girlfriend. So then we end up running back to those girls, being like, oh, please, 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 I'm sorry, take me back. And the worst thing could possibly happen is that they actually take us back. But usually what happens is they don't want to, and we end up looking like complete jackasses, and then they're not attracted to us whatsoever after that. Then it's like, oh, my psycho ex-boyfriend or psycho ex-husband, that's who you become, like some super needy, unattractive man or a shadow of a man.
Right. You're talking about, you know, losing your your manhood, and that definitely
is
a situation where you lose that.
Yeah, I mean, well, the problem is that what happens most of the time, and I've been victim of this too, man, don't get me wrong, I've done this for sure, you know, where I run back and I'm just like begging it. Everything that I'm doing, every single little thing that I'm doing, every point of contact that I have with my ex, I dig a deeper hole. Like, it gets worse and worse for me. So, like, the best thing for me to end up doing, the best thing for you to do, I implore you to do this, is to shut up and stop continuing. But, you know, while all your emotions are running wild, you can't be communicating with your ex, like, laying it all out there and just, like, splaying yourself so that, you know, so that you try to get her back that way. That's not really how it works. So, let's say that you've been through that or not. Let's say that you broke up with her and you ran out and did whatever you did, or you got broken up with and you're sort of in that grievance process and you're getting through it. Well, I'm going to tell you now something that is – during this call, in this interview, I'm going to reveal a step-by-step process to overcome sort of the fear of getting back in the game. Not just overcome the fear, but to actually get back in the game. By the end of this audio training series or audio training course, you're going to be, if you follow everything that I do in this course, you will be back in the game better than you were before you met your ex. And you'll be dating more attractive. I know it's kind of crazy to think about this, but you'll be dating more attractive, cooler, more just to the core better for you women than you ever have before in your life. And that's really what the goal is here. But the first thing we have to do, and this is one of the big things I think a lot of guys skip over, is you have to make a decision sort of right now at this moment. And if you haven't recently gotten out of a breakup and you're listening to this, you still need to make this decision if you haven't made it yet. And if you can't make this decision, you need to pause this training course and sit on it and not listen to anything else until you can make this decision. So if you find it impossible to do this, just stop listening after I say what to do. Stop listening. Let it digest into the point where you actually can process it and you do believe and you do understand, and then continue. Because no matter what you do, if you don't make this decision that I'm about to announce to you now, no matter what I tell you, it will not work. So you'll be wasting your time. You'll get to the place where you're halfway through the process, and you'll start to see that the results that I explain are not the results that you have. So you want to make sure you make this decision. That decision is, from now on, to only date women, I mean exclusively date women, that are better or more attractive than your ex. You have to make that decision. Not better in whatever, better in whatever way, more confident, more to the core attractive, more mature, more physically attractive. You have to make a decision right now to take a step up from your ex and stay there, right? So your baseline is only dating exclusively, I mean one-on-one dating, like monogamous dating. You're only going to date a woman monogamously if she's better than your ex. And keep that in mind, because what a lot of guys do is they get into relationships immediately after their last relationship, and it's a girl who's not better, just different, right? Just different than their exes. And so you have to make a decision right now. And like I said, even if you aren't coming out of a breakup, you still need to make this decision. You need to make the decision to only date monogamously date, meaning like, you know, one-on-one, only dating one person. If you're going to get exclusive with a girl, you can only get exclusive with her if she is better in every way you can think of than your ex. And that's really, really important. So why is that important? Because what we typically do is in a position of scarcity or fear, which is where most guys are when they have just exited a relationship, they feel scarcity. I don't have a lot of options. From that place, if you decide to be with somebody, we can lie to ourselves that this person is good for us for the rest of your life. We have the ability to lie to ourselves for the rest of our lives. We can do that. In fact, many people do. They'll get in a relationship that's bad, and they'll start to go down that path. They'll invest a bunch into the relationship, and then they won't want to break up. And then they end up getting married and then resenting each other for the next 50 years, you know, just being in a terrible relationship. So you don't want that for yourself. I know you don't. I don't want that for you either. So you have to make a decision to take a step up from here on. And every single time I've broken up with a girl or gotten broken up with by a girl, I've made this decision every single time. And now after doing that, it forced me to sort of take it to the next level and improve myself every time. You know, that way you don't, it's not a total waste whenever you break up with a girl or you get broken up with. When you have a relationship and it ends, if you jump straight into another one immediately, it's a waste of everything that you've just learned from the last relationship. You're just going to repeat problems and you're going to have the same issue over and over again until eventually you realize that you're the problem, not her. And so you have to make that pact right now. So between me and you, Brad, and everyone listening, if you have made that decision to only date women who are better in every way you can think of, more attractive, whatever, than your ex was, then you can continue listening. If you haven't made that decision or that pact that you're going to guarantee, like you're making a decision with us as brothers right now, if you haven't made that and you can't make it, pause or stop this audio training course and don't listen anymore until you can say that's true. So does that make sense, Brad?
Yeah, it totally does. And I think that's, you know, what we really want when we do get out of relationships is we do want to go to a better place. And, you know, for whatever reasons, there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, we want to be dating somebody better that everybody can sort of tell is better. At least that's the way I felt, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, whenever I, you know, when I had the first experience with my current girlfriend, you know, 9 years ago or something, almost 9 years ago, when I saw her for the first time, I just set the bar saying that anybody who came after this had to make me feel like this or better, right? Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing was being too lenient on that. Like I would, you know, the first person I dated after that was not better than her. And I just sort of like rationalized it in my head and was like, oh, she's better because it's the right time for her, you know, or something. Uh-huh. I had like some BS thing that that I decided to do. So what I should have done is I shouldn't have been dating those girls exclusively. I should have just been dating them polyamorously, like not being one-on-one dating them, like just hooking up with them and going back and forth and not being exclusive with anybody unless she was better. And had I done that, I would have been at the place where I was ready to attract my current girlfriend again a lot sooner than it took me. It took me like, you know, seven years or something to get her back, or 8 years. So it was really complicated for me because I let this go. So I don't want you guys to have to do that too, because it, you know, you don't have time to wait another decade to find somebody better than your ex, you know, or your last girlfriend, or even the best girlfriend you've ever had. You can look back at that one. Like if your last girlfriend was kind of crappy and you're looking back on another girl who's even better than her, you know, you want to take your best interaction, your best relationship, or what you believe you deserve, and you want to put that there. Say, that's the bar, you know. Don't settle for anything less than the bar. Like I decided that I was going to figure it all out or die trying, because I wasn't going to settle. What's worse than death is living a life with somebody that you don't really care about, or, you know, wanting her to be somebody else, you know, the whole time. It's not really fair to her either. So that's one thing. So if you made that decision, awesome. Let's move forward. And I'm going to introduce to you sort of like a concept that I sort of go over a little bit in some of my other trainings, but I'm going to go into it in very deep detail. I'm going to give you a step-by-step process you can follow that will get you back in the game, guaranteed to get you back in the game. This is what I've done every single time I've done it. When I've met other guys who've gone through the same process, I've taught them to do this. Every guy I've taught to do this has been back in the game within a matter of weeks. So it does not take very long. But if you don't do this, it typically takes you, however long your relationship was, it takes you that long, divided by two. So if you were together for 6 years, it typically takes 3 years to get over that person.
Wow.
So this is usually how it works. So if you've been together for 2 years, it'll be 1 year. Together for 1 year, 6 months, right? So, that's only if you don't do what I'm about to tell you. So if you were dating her, you know, I'm guessing that you dated her for longer than 6 weeks, which is, you know, why it would affect you in the first place. But if not, no big deal. I'm going to get you back as fast as humanly possible without having to sacrifice anything by, like, ignoring or recreating the same problems and stuff like that to actually better yourself to get you to the next level. So first thing I want to introduce, though, in this training series or training of audio training course is the idea of the social muscle. So this is the concept that came to me when I was trying to solve the find a cure for approach anxiety. As in, you see a girl and you think she's hot, you want to go talk to her, but then all of a sudden you get scared, right? That's approach anxiety. And when I was trying to figure out how to solve that for guys, I came across this concept of the social muscle. And when I started explaining it and exploring it a little bit, it just worked perfectly for me and then for everybody else that I explained it to. And anybody who applied it was able to get over their approach anxiety and get rid of that fear. But beyond that, it became sort of a staple and a baseline for a lot of the stuff that I teach. So I'll sort of introduce that now. Whenever we have social interaction with somebody, with anybody actually, in our lives, our brain is using a certain function. It's a cerebral function that we've built over time that makes us different than all the other apes, basically. It's what separates us from all the rest of the upright walking primates, right? And for the most part, upright walking, because no other primates actually walk upright like we do. So, except you, Brad. You're the only one. Right? No, I'm kidding. So what we use, that sort of area of our brain, is our social area of our brain. It's the area that allows us to have really complex social environments, social interactions, but it also allows us to do something that separates us from all the other species and what makes us the dominant species in the world, which is project a concept. Imagine that something's going to be happening. This is sort of our simulation brain, as we call it. So to simulate something happening before we do it, this is something that other animals really can't do. They'll look up and they'll see a tiger, and they won't go, well, let me imagine that I walk over there to that tiger, and then let me imagine walking past him, and let me imagine what he would do, and then come up with a scenario in our heads, and then go, okay, I'm not going to do it that way, right? I'll do it this way instead. That's what actually separates us from everybody, from all the rest of the animals, is this ability to simulate. Now, this is a very young ability, and it's really underdeveloped. It's like some of our underdeveloped muscles that we have in our bodies. So the social muscle is this part of our brain that is so new that we need to constantly upkeep it and keep it working and exercise it. And that's what allows us to keep our intelligence high and things like this. So if you look at it like a muscle, the first thing you have to realize is that since you haven't been interacting in society at the level at which you have been in the past or you have before, probably when you met your last girlfriend, your muscle is going to be very weak. Like, imagine you don't work out in the gym for 3 years, and not only that, but you don't do anything but sit down and just do nothing. You have no physical activity whatsoever, you know? What were you going to say, Brad?
I said done. I can imagine that perfectly.
Perfect. So if you have no physical activity whatsoever for maybe 3 years or something, imagine going into a gym and then seeing the weights, the bench press machine, and then sitting down and going, put 500 pounds on this, and then trying to lift it. Now, what will happen immediately is you're not going to be able to have even the strength to support the bar. You will not be able to hold 500 pounds up, period. It'll fall on you. And typically what it does is that, you know, something like that could actually kill you. But usually what happens with our social version of this is that we go out and we attempt immediately to just, like, overdo it. We try to just go crazy talking to women and try to talk to the hottest women, period, like we can possibly find. And we just get blown out. We get rejected over and over and over again because we're not used to it anymore. And so instead of it killing our physical body, it kills our self-esteem. It kills our confidence. And so going out and trying to pretend like your social muscle is what it used to be will actually kill your confidence, and it won't give you the strength to continue moving forward. So you're going to have to accept right now that you are not going to be as strong as you used to be. You're not going to be. Not in the very beginning. You've got to work this back up. So you have to sort of warm up your social muscle. And just like a workout routine, you've got to have a series of increasing sort of weight, so to speak, on what you're doing that will allow you to build up your muscle as fast as possible, but not too fast. If it's too fast, then you will burn out. You will, you know, feel like you're worthless. You'll get depressed. You'll get worse anxiety, which is even, you know, terrible. And then you'll end up feeling worse than you did when you started, which is what most guys do. They end up ruining their interactions with every single woman because they didn't start out where they know they belong. They belong a lot. Like, imagine you're starting from scratch. You have to start there, you know? And so, like, because when you get in a relationship, you know, I know this. I'm in a relationship now, and it's sort of one of the things that I do accept about myself. Because I'm in a relationship right now, if I were to be single all of a sudden out of nowhere, I've worked through this process here and got down to the point where I can actually go through this, what I'm about to teach you in a bit here. I can go through this warm-up sequence in a matter of days. Sometimes I can even go through it in a matter of hours, but that's not going to happen if I were single all of a sudden right now, because I'm with the girl of my dreams, so I wouldn't. It would probably take me a little bit more than an hour to get over that. But once I'm over it, because I know what I'm doing, I can actually chunk all this stuff down, usually into one day of sort of warming up, and then after that, I'm fine. You know, I can go right back to being who I used to be, and I'd actually be better than I used to be, because in the meantime, I've had a lot of realizations since I've been with her that I hadn't had before when I was single. So, and I'll be able to put those into play. So whenever I was sort of – what I've done is taken this process and sort of crunched it down into an intensive process that I can use in one day. If you want to try that, then I guess you can go ahead and try it. But if it doesn't work that first day, then don't freak out. Just go back and start it again and do it slowly, you know. But I would dedicate an entire day to this, absolutely, to taking it from 0 to 60 here, at least an entire day. Of just like almost 24 hours, like wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. and then go until like 2 a.m., you know, and just constantly do it because it's worth it for you. But if you don't have that much time to do it all in one day, I highly suggest that you spread it out over a few weeks so that you don't like, you know, get totally burnt out by the end of that, you know, few week period. If you don't have a piece of paper right now and a pen, I highly suggest you grab one because you're going to want to write this process down. So that I'm about to go over. So as you're warming up, I'm going to give you sort of a workout routine for your social muscle that's going to get you strong again and stronger than you were before. And I'm going to give you a couple of things that are sort of steroids, so to speak, that give you an unfair advantage, especially at the end of this, sort of the last stage. We'll give you an unfair advantage to every other guy who you'll meet. So that's sort of the part that I think will be really exciting for you. So, Brad, anything for you to note so far in this? I'm sort of talking over you here. I haven't given you.
No, I'm all ears. I think a lot of guys are going to be like just completely ready for this because, you know, everybody really wants to get back into the game, I think, and the fastest way possible is going to be amazing. So I'm all ears, man.
Okay, cool. One of the things that I want to note here is that even if you're not just out of a breakup. But you do experience approach anxiety, figure out where you are in this process currently and take off from there and like start to go to the next level. So if you're like having a hard time talking to women and talking to beautiful women during the daytime, then you're going to take a step right before that on my process and you're going to stay there and then you're going to keep doing that step before it and then move on to the attractive women. So the way that we're typically going to do this, and just to kind of give you an idea, is you're going to go through talking to different types of people in a different kind of way over and over until you get to the point where you can accomplish something every time you approach this kind of person. What guys typically do, and the reason why guys have a really hard time with approach anxiety and have a really hard time at bars especially, is that they're going to a bar and they're trying to attract women. So all they do is talk to women. This is great if you are if you've gone through this process already where you've gone through the steps that I'm about to say. But if you haven't gone through all the steps I'm about to say, then if you go to the bar and you try to talk to women, it's not going to work because you don't have all the necessary elements in your mind. Like your brain hasn't simulated, that sort of simulation part of your brain hasn't warmed up yet to the point where you can handle that heavy lifting. Like going up and talking to a super hot chick and then attracting her is like trying to lift 300 pounds, right? That's what it's like. Try to bench press 300 pounds. Everyone can do that if they work out enough. It's not impossible, you know. I'd say 200 pounds because that's a little bit easier to imagine, you know. 200 pounds. Everyone can lift 200 pounds if they train. No big deal. But if you go straight into the gym and you try to lift 200 pounds, you're going to hurt yourself. You will, and you'll give up. You'll burn yourself out. You won't be able to continue. So we're going to kind of go over how to get through these different weight increases over time. Do not jump ahead unless you've successfully completed the step before it, period. That's my only real rule for this. So we're going to break it up into three major different sections. One is daytime, talking to women during the daytime. The second one is talking to women at nighttime. And the third one is killing approach anxiety. That's sort of the steroids bit that I'm going to give you. It's going to put give you an unfair advantage to the rest of the guys that you run into. So let's start out with the daytime. Now, the difference between meeting women sort of, as people would say, day game versus night game for guys, the big difference is actually interesting in how it actually changes our psychology. During the daytime, we feel like we can't hide as much. And so we feel the desire, the need to be more direct. It's not just us as men, it's women as well. Everyone feels this way. This is why we don't see women walking around with, you know, low-cut shirts as much during the daytime as you will at nighttime, you know? Also, we associate nighttime with quiet, safe vulnerability, meaning that I can be in a corner by myself in the dark and I don't have everyone staring at me, looking at me, judging me, right? Because no one can really see me very well. So one of the best examples of vulnerability, sort of quiet vulnerability, is sex. Sex is a great way to be vulnerable. It's an extremely vulnerable act, and it's I'm not saying quiet as in not loud sex, but I mean like as in no one else can really see it. You know, you're kind of hiding during sex at nighttime. You can't look over and they can't look over and see the look on your face every second. You're not going to be as self-conscious because the lights are out typically when you're having sex at nighttime. So that's one of the reasons why at nighttime we all go for sex, because we know that we can hide things about ourselves whenever we're being vulnerable. So we're trying to save ourselves from being super, super vulnerable or revealing ourselves all at one time. So this is interesting, and that changes our dynamic completely whenever we interact with people. Women are expecting something different during the daytime than they are expecting at nighttime, especially if they're at a bar or something. So if you're under 21, as we go through this process, you're going to have to find a sort of different environment to continue the second part of this training. But I'll
probably be like parties and stuff.
Yeah, parties could be, but those are kind of difficult because there aren't as many. So you're going to have to plug yourself into it somehow or go to shows or something. You don't have to find something.
There's a lot of late night coffee shops too, I guess, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But in a coffee shop, again, the lights are on and it's bright.
That's true.
You know? So in that environment, you're going to be more like, it's going to be more like day game, you know. Mm-hmm. So first thing you're going to be doing, if you're just coming out of a breakup and you need to sort of get back in the swing of things, or you're still trying to get over your ex, take a book, preferably something like Dan Dinnick's book, Over Her, Overnight, I believe is his book. Mm-hmm. And take that and go to a public place and read it. Don't read it in your house by yourself. So this is the first step. So you can actually start to get back in the game while you're still getting over your ex. Go to a place like a coffee shop that's popular. I mean, every single town in the U.S. pretty much has a Starbucks. If it doesn't, go to some place that's public that you can sit, a park, anything. Sit there and read it there. The reason why you want to do this is because you want to put yourself in a situation where you realize other people are interacting around you. This is going to sort of expose your that part of your brain to interaction again, sort of like walking into a gym and picking up and just lifting the bar on a bench press machine. All right, I'm just warming my muscle up here. I'm just trying to get this thing going to the point where I know blood flows to this part of my body, and I know that my body's starting to get a realization that, okay, we're about to go into some training here, so I need to start paying attention to this part of my body. I need to start sending extra blood there and extra oxygen, and your body naturally does that whenever you work out. So what you want to do is for that part of your brain, that sort of neuropathway, exercise it by going out into public whenever you're reading. So as you're reading either my material or someone like Dan Dinnick's material, you want to make sure that you are in a public place that you're doing it, so that you know people are there and you're getting used to interacting with people, even if you're not talking to them. You're just used to them being around. Once you're able to sit in a public place and read and you feel totally like you're part of the environment, like this is comfortable for you, this is normal for you. Now, that may take a while for some guys, but whenever you feel that way, no matter when that is, move on to the next step. The next step is going out to basically during the daytime to talk to other guys who are your age. So not women, just guys who are your age. So no matter what age you are, just go to a place where you can see people and they're standing around, they're not doing much. Coffee shop is a good place to do this. You don't have to like sit down with them and have a conversation like heart to heart or anything. The goal is to talk with them until you can make jokes with them almost as soon as you walk up. Like, that's what you want to do. With guys your age, you want to be able to walk up and make a joke as soon as you walk up. Not like, hey, did you hear about the priest and rabbi that walked into a bar? Not like that. Not like a knock knock joke. But like say something light and kind of funny, you know? Like if you're standing and someone's freaking out, you know, you might turn to the guy next to you and go, somebody give that man a cookie, you know? Like that would be a joke that you'd make. When you can make a joke to guys who are your age consistently, as soon as you walk up without any interaction, then you can move on to the next step. Let me tell you why this is important in the first place. There's a lot of sort of psychology that's backing why it's important to be able to walk up to a guy and make a joke with him. But one reason is because it's getting you introduced to the idea that you have a stage that you have to explore, which is banter, right? But you're not using banter with attractive women. You're using banter with guys. Guys who are your age and attractive women both desire and need the same process in the beginning of an interaction, and that is lighthearted banter, like jokes, basically. And that lighthearted banter is what allows us as men and attractive women both to disarm themselves. So you want to make sure that you practice disarming the people that you're with by being able to make jokes. Now, if it takes you a month to do this, then it takes you a month to do it. That's how it is. If you can't make jokes with guys as soon as you walk up, there's no way in hell you're going to be able to continue. You have to be able to do this. So just keep that in mind. If you do want to get to the point where you can attract any woman you want and walk up and be really good, you have to be able to walk up to a guy you've never met before who's your age and make a joke, like something kind of brief, you know. So that's your only goal. So as you go through your day, during the daytime, you want to make sure that you're focusing on that. And when you get like to where you can do 3, 4, 5 in a row without having a negative response, then move on to the next step. The next step after that is talking to unattractive women. Right, so then you're going to start doing something with unattractive women. Instead of bantering with unattractive women, which you don't want to do because it will attract them, instead you want to practice going into rapport with unattractive women, meaning having deep and meaningful conversations with unattractive women. That's really crucial. So skip banter altogether with these women because otherwise you'll actually attract them, and then you'll have a problem on your hands. Skip banter altogether. Don't make any jokes. Walk up to women and start talking to unattractive women until you can go into rapport with them almost instantly. Like, hey, I saw you reading this book. What book is this? I'm kind of curious because I have a book that I'm reading right now, but I'd really love to get recommendations from people. Like, that's it. That's a rapport question. Something that's like not a joke, you know. Brad, you have something to say?
Yeah, I was just gonna say like what would be the best question that you would think to ask. I mean, that sort of answered it. It's just kind of make an observation about something about them and just kind of ask them a question about it.
Yeah. So imagine like you ever seen okay. Doing this with unattractive women is great. Doing it with attractive women is a fucking terrible thing to do.
Right.
So have you ever seen a guy and Brad, you and I actually know a guy, I'm not gonna say his name on here. But you and I know a guy who you used to live with who does this same thing with all the women he meets. I've seen him do it with a lot of women since I've been here. And I've seen him basically what he does is he walks up and he starts talking about commonalities immediately. Like just – and he thinks that's what attraction is. So I'm never going to correct him because he's never going to ask me. But and plus he's not paying me. He couldn't pay me enough really to do it. But he does this all the time, and guys who do this all the time are supplicating. They're trying to find something. It's kind of sneaky. Now, most guys, what they do, they try to find some commonality with a hot girl, and then they're expecting that this hot girl is just going to go, "Oh my God, wow, we have so much in common. Let's have sex now, and let's date." But they don't. They don't do that. Unattractive women will talk to you for a long period of time and hang out with you and be your friends, if you just go up and you start building rapport with them. And what guys do is they see positive responses from unattractive women, and they think that attractive women have the exact same thing. No, they don't, dude. Attractive women have way more options than unattractive women do. So they're not desperate. They're not going to jump straight into it. But you need to get used to talking to talking in women speak, basically. So one thing that you would do is, for example, the book thing is a great one. Another one would be like if they're walking near a campus, like, "Hey, I'm kind of curious, if you go to school here, I'd like to ask you a question about it because I'm thinking about walking with them, walking the same direction. I'm thinking about going here, or my friend's thinking about going here, whatever. Do they have a really good law program?" whatever. It doesn't really matter. Just as long as you ask them something. But you want to go into rapport. You don't want to joke around with them. You want to go straight into rapport. So whenever you can go into rapport with unattractive women, you're ready to take the next step. So this is the fourth step in this process. There's only one more before you graduate to the next level, which is nighttime. So the fourth step in this process is talking to really old people. I know that sounds kind of like out of place. Like maybe really old people should be earlier. The reason why you want to talk to really old people is because they're probably the hardest people to find something extremely interesting about and sit and talk to about that thing. Now, they have great, amazing stories with amazing, interesting parts of their lives. But most of us don't look at them as a, you know, if we're going on looking for women, we're not going to look at a hot, like, oh, not, oh, sorry, not a hot, but a hot old lady, sorry.
Well, some of us might.
Exactly. Old cougar hunting. But we're not going to look at an old woman and go, oh man, I can totally see what's interesting about you. Or tell me something, I want to find what's interesting about this woman. So this is sort of the step right before we are able to, we're able to do sort of the magical process, the thing that sort of gets us to be really, really good with women. And that is finding the interesting thing in everybody that we meet. Now this is really, really, really important. The reason why this is important is because you have to create a belief that you approach everybody that you're interested in, period, that you think is interesting, period. And that means, you know, that means old people, young people, unattractive guys, girls, doesn't matter, right? You need to approach everybody that you're curious about. So going up to older people, really old people especially, and finding the thing that's interesting about them is going to be a very valuable skill set. So again, this is the fourth step. You want to talk to old people until you can find something interesting about them. And it's like something that you're genuinely interested in, and then talk about that for a minute and then split. Right? If you can't do that in the beginning, then you need to keep trying until you can. Now, let's imagine that you were sort of a, you know, you broke up with your ex. It was a long time coming. You're not really caught up on her too much. But, you know, you just wanted to want this information anyway. Then here's what you could do. You could spend 5 minutes reading in public place until you know that you're comfortable. You could go up to guys your age, talk to them, and make a joke. First, if you make a joke immediately, just and it does, you know, there's no problem doing it. You're not rusty at all. Move on to the next step. This could literally take, you know, you could go through steps 1 through 4 in like, you know, 20 minutes if you want to. But you have to be honest with yourself. If you're not comfortable in one of these steps, you have to sit there until you are. This is very crucial. If you lie to yourself about it and you just push through and you come out the other side, then you're not going to be happy, dude. It's not going to work. You're going to get really shitty results, and you don't want that. So that's the fourth stage. Fourth step is talking to really old people and talking to them and trying to find one interesting thing about them, just one interesting thing. And as soon as you find that you can walk up to an old person, find that interesting thing about them over and over again consistently, then you're ready to move on to step 5, which is the last step in this first level of understanding, of building up your social muscle. And that is talking to attractive women during the daytime. Now, the goal from talking to attractive women during the daytime is to be at a place where you can talk to them and you can banter only for 5 minutes in the very beginning of the interaction. So your goal is to keep talking to attractive women during the daytime until you can banter with them and joke around with them for 5 whole minutes. Once you can do that consistently, you're ready to move on. So most guys, I would say, are not at that level yet, right? They're not at a level where they can walk up to a woman during the daytime and who's really attractive, joke around with her for 5 minutes, and then split. They don't have to do anything else. Just joke around for 5 minutes and be lighthearted. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, then you need to start by talking to really old people right now, you know, because you're not at that level yet. So it's really important that as you walk up and as you build these piece by piece, you know, your social muscle is getting more and more used to interaction again and the different nuances of interaction. Now, again, I broke this up in the daytime and nighttime because during the daytime, your social muscle has a different level of defense. So does everyone else's. A different level of defense during the daytime than it does at nighttime. So what you want to do is be able to use your social muscle no matter what the defense level is. You know, if it's daytime, you'll be able to use it then, and at nighttime, the same thing. But at nighttime, there are more defenses. That's why at nighttime, you have it's sort of a level 2 approach. So those are the 5 steps for level 1. If you can do all 5 of those and consistently do all 5 of those, you're ready to move on to level 2. Is that clear, Brad? Is this a This is all making
totally sense. Clear. This is awesome, and I feel like, you know, it's a really, really important thing to tell guys that you don't have to start right out like, okay, you want to get back into the game, you don't have to go out to like a nightclub and start like picking up hot chicks right away, you know?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's going to be scary as hell to somebody who's all, you know, too vulnerable and still working, especially if you're still working through the process of getting over that breakup. There's going to be a lot of vulnerability there, and something like that's going to be really terrifying. And like you said, you know, what that's going to do is just create a longer period of time for them to actually feel comfortable, you know, talking to girls again. So this is awesome, man.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. There are a lot of mistakes that I see that I've made in the past that I see a lot of other guys making, and skipping this process. In fact, even a lot of the professionals that I know, don't do this. And I can say that if you go through each one of these stages and you really sit through each one of these stages and you come out the other side of this, that you'll be better with women than 99% of the guys in the world just by going through this process, not by learning anything else, not by learning body language stuff or anything else that I've taught you, rapport concepts, nothing, just by going through this process. So I'm hoping to get you to that place from 0 to 60, like I said, you know, because, you know, like I said, a lot of guys skip over this stuff. And it's something that I went through myself, and I did it slowly because I didn't know that I could speed it up. But the cool thing about this is that once you, you know, technically what's happening is that instead of thinking about like your social muscle, what's really happening is you're creating new what's called neural pathways. You're creating new neural pathways in your brain. And whenever you do something new, your brain has to carve a new neural pathway, sort of a thought highway, right? And in order to connect a thought to a memory, to an action, to whatever, your brain has to have these neural pathways already built. So what you're doing is you're creating a direct highway, a straight highway from one place, from point A to point B, right? Instead of like jumping all over your brain, trying to swerve around and taking forever to get there. So as you go through this process, your neural pathway is being reinforced and getting, it's like adding lanes to a freeway, you know, and more information and more power can shoot back and forth through this neural pathway. So if your social muscle, so to speak, is built up by you going through these different processes and you go sort of level up over time, then you will have the ability to later on, if you let this all sort of fall to shit, like if you don't work it out anymore for a while, those neural pathways don't go away. They stay there, but you don't use them as much. So you'll have what's called muscle memory, right? Like, for example, somebody who has lost 100 pounds and then gains 100 pounds, it'll take them usually less than 50% of the time to lose it again than it did the first time because they have muscle memory. Their muscles will build up faster, right? So it build up one time, and then it gets easier and easier for the rest of your life after that. So the first time is going to be a little bit difficult. So you have to just, you know, it's kind of like it's a workout routine. So you got to, you know, submit to it fully and commit, make sure that you do it. So, but after that, like I said, whenever I leave, if I were to be single right now, it would take me probably a day or sometimes even a few hours to get back into it because I have all these neural pathways already created. They're already submitted for me. It's already like a 12-lane mega highway for me because I did it for so long, you know?
Right.
Most guys have a trail that's really winding, you know, that follows the river basically. And that's the reason why most guys don't have as much of an ability as I do to step forward and really carve this forward and rock it. Did you know that in the U.S., most of the roads that were, the freeways or the roads that we were using to travel at the time, when cars were first invented, most of the roads were old cow paths. You know that?
I didn't know.
Cows would walk naturally. They'd walk in a certain line. They'd walk in the path of least resistance. That's what cows do.
Uh-huh.
So as they'd walk over time, it created this thin path where cows would walk, and then people started following those paths with horse and buggies, you know, and then eventually. When we started needing roads, most of the time they just pave over those paths, right? Mm-hmm. So there were these super winding, weird, inefficient roads that would go swerving all over the place because it was following the path of least resistance, you know? So what we ended up doing with freeways in the U.S. is we got an aerial view and then we drew a straight line and we plowed through everything that was in the way. Like, you know, go over the mountain or through the mountain in a tunnel, go over a river instead of falling in the river for, you know, months and then going over, you know. And that's whenever we made freeways or super highways, you know. And that's sort of what you're doing with your brain. You're recreating this neural pathway in a way that makes it a super highway. And makes it really easy to act. And actually, it also the super highways also control your emotions. So you won't have any negative responses or weird feelings around women either whenever you meet them. So that's the first part of level one. Level two, if we can get to it, this is where Mario also encounters spitting, fireball spitting, flowers in this level.
That's right.
Level two is all about nighttime. So the first thing you want to be able to do in level two, the first step, is you want to be able to go into a bar with a friend of yours and don't talk to anybody but your friend. That's it. Just go into a bar, sit there. Your goal is to be comfortable, not talking to anybody but your friend, just hanging out, right? If you can go into a bar and you can sit with your friend and not talk to anyone, then you're good to go on to the next step. By the way, there are six steps in this process for this level two, just to kind of give you a heads up. The second one is you want to go to a bar with a friend and only talk to other guys. That's it, right? So you're going to be talking to other dudes who are at the bar, your friend's there. In between, like, conversations with your friends, you're going to turn over – with your one friend, you're going to turn over and be like, hey, blah, 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 talk to a guy for a second, just for a minute, and then turn back to your friend. And again, your goal here is to just be able to joke around with this guy, right? Make a quick joke, then turn back around again. And you know, whenever you can do that back and forth, it may only take a day for you to, or one evening for you to figure that this out, how to do it. So if it only takes you one evening, great. You know, you're done. You don't have to worry about it.
So
you can move on to the next step.
Yep. A lot of guys are, you know, are always wondering, like, what specifically you would say in these situations. But what I'm getting from this process is that as you start off from, you know, going out to a coffee shop during the day and not really talking to anybody, and then just talking to guys your age, is that by the time you get to the nighttime, you know, to this level two, you won't have to think about what to say, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly the point. If you're walking out, if you're at a bar at nighttime, and you're saying to yourself, and your question is, what do I say to this girl? Then you should not be at a bar at nighttime. You should be somewhere else. Or if you are at a bar, you should be talking to guys. You should be taking – you're not at the level – where you're able to go to a bar at nighttime and talk to chicks. You need to pull it back some. I had to go through the same thing, dude. I did not skip this, you know. I did this exact same thing for me. And any time that I want to get back into it, I go through the same process.
A guy asking, what do I say to a hot girl at a club, is basically like saying, like, you know, what 10 reps do I need to do to have a six-pack overnight or something like that?
No, not even. It's more like saying, how do I lift this 500-pound bar?
Yeah. Okay.
You don't, dude. That's the point, you know?
Yeah.
You do not lift that 500-pound bar. You can try, but it won't work. You're going to hurt yourself. It's just not going to work. Or you can make it so that you use other spotters do 90% of the work and you do 10%. That's fine, you know? So if you are asking that question, and I don't want to be too harsh on it on everybody here, because I know that a lot of guys are like, well, I want to talk to hot chicks. Of course you do. So do I. So does everybody, you know? If you're not, if you're asking that question though, you skip some of these steps. Go back and do these steps. That way, that this is simple. You know, it will be easy if you go back and do these steps. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Let me just make sure I'm on the right page here. I lost. All right. So you want to talk to the guys and make jokes with them a little bit with your friend there, and that's all you gotta do. That's all your goal is. So you can make an entire night out of that, or you can make, you know, half of an evening out of it, whatever you want. The next step is kind of a big leap. So this is where a lot of guys get tripped up. Go to a bar by yourself and don't talk to anybody. Just have a good time. Hang out. Don't talk to anybody. Your goal is not to talk to anybody. You can talk to people, but your goal is not to do that. Your goal is to just go to a bar by yourself until you feel comfortable. Like, just get into the environment of a bar. Really understand that environment. I would just, like, you know, go to a bar, sit at the bar. Imagine you're, like, you know, in a movie, you know, that you're like the broken down, you know, washed up hero in a movie that's sitting at a bar drinking drinks, right?
The wrestler.
That's fine. What's that? The wrestler.
Wrestler.
Yeah, exactly. Not that bad, but, you know, don't get drunk or anything, but just go and enjoy the environment. Like, enjoy the seat at the bar, you know, roll over things in your head, just kind of like You can talk to the bartender. You can just think about stuff. You know, whatever it is, just go there and hang out. You can just order water if you want to, whatever you want to do. And stay there until you can feel comfortable. You know, where you're like, okay, I got this. I don't feel weird, right? I don't feel weird anymore, like I'm out of place. I'm just like a guy at the bar. You have to be able to do that before you can go to a bar and talk to chicks. Trust me, it's not going to work otherwise. So go to a bar by yourself is step three, and don't talk to anybody. Your goal is not to talk to anybody. Now, again, as I go through this process and I say what to do for that step, again, keep in mind that's just your goal. If you do something beyond that and you feel comfortable doing something beyond that, you can. But you have to make sure that you're comfortable at every single step. And that's your goal, is just to be comfortable there. If you go to a bar and in 5 minutes, you're by yourself, and in 5 minutes you feel comfortable, then spend the rest of the time on the next step, right? Just go ahead and jump straight to the next step. The next step is going to a bar by yourself and only talking to guys. That's it. So as you do this, again, you're going to be joking around just like you did in the earlier stages of what was that? That was step two on level one there, is talking to guys your age during the daytime and making jokes. You're going to want to be able to sort of be lighthearted and joke around with guys who are in a bar when you're by yourself, when you don't go to a bar with anybody else. That's the next level, next step, rather. So once you're comfortable doing that, this is where things get a little bit different. Then you're going to add something to the equation. Once you're comfortable talking to guys, you're going to talk to guys and unattractive girls at the bar. Whenever you're comfortable talking to guys and unattractive girls, then you're going to be talking to guys, unattractive girls, and attractive girls, equal parts of each one. And that's sort of the sixth step of level two, is being able to go to a bar, talk to guys, talk to unattractive girls, and talk to attractive girls all in equal amount. This is really, really important, because what happens when you get to the sixth step of level two, this where you're talking to everybody at the bar, is your brain then creates and submits a belief. And that belief is, I'm the kind of guy who talks to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I talk to every single person that I'm interested in. That's whenever that belief is fully submitted. Now, you can stop there if you want to. That's the end of level two. Level two is like, that's being pretty good. Like, you're the life of the party. You're going to hook up with a lot of chicks because of this. You're going to be sort of like, you're going to have lots of phone numbers. You're going to see really great responses from women. It's a very powerful process that you'll go through. But if you want the steroids that'll give you an unfair advantage, you know, mm-hmm. over the rest of the guys, then here's what you do. Throughout your daytime as well, after all this, after you've gone through the daytime stuff, level one stuff, and the nighttime stuff in level two, then, and you're able to go to a bar, feel comfortable, not just by yourself, but comfortable talking to guys, unattractive girls, and attractive girls all at the same time, and equal parts of each one. Then from that point on, throughout the day, every time you see an attractive woman, approach her. Approach every single attractive woman you see. Now, this is funny because most guys will teach you, if you're like, oh, if you want to get over approach anxiety, they just tell you to do that last thing. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible idea. I mean, you can do it just to kind of get used to little things, but you're going to get a lot of rejection, a whole lot of rejection. If you're willing to go through that rejection and keep going till it works, then you can start there if you want to. But most guys are not willing to do that. It hurts pretty bad.
That's the fear of that rejection itself is the thing that holds them back from talking to anybody.
Exactly. You know, and that's sort of the problem is that, you know, especially in this industry, is that guys will go out and talk to 100 girls. Well, yeah, that's true. You can go out and talk to 100 girls. And if you make it a game, it's even easier. Like, oh, I got 50. I got to get 50 more. I'm going to try to get 10 today, you know, and just like mark it down in a book. That can be pretty fun, you know, and you can go through that process. In fact, that's like a pretty exciting game to play because it gets you to improve at least a little bit through this process. But it's not the most organic and easiest way to do this. It's one of the hardest ways to do it. And it's like working uphill, dude. Some of the smartest business people I know say, instead of being a salmon and trying to swim upstream, you want to be a tuna, and you want to find a current that's going the direction you want to go and ride with it. You know,
yeah.
Salmons never make money. They don't. They don't. Tuna make money. Now, but that was obviously fish. That analogy steps out of the fish there. But you know, instead of trying to go against the grain the entire way and being very difficult, go with it. Find a current that's moving in the direction that you want to go and go with that That's the fastest, easiest, most effective, and smartest way to go about attracting women, is to do it this way. It's to start with the way your brain naturally processes this stuff. If you try to use it, if you try to go against the grain otherwise, it's not the smartest way to do it. It'll change your life because it'll be really stressful, but it won't get you there any faster. It'll get you there. It'll take a lot longer, and it'll be a lot more painful, you know. I'm not going to say that's not a great experience to have. I think it's a fantastic experience to have. If you haven't made a goal to approach –
it's the perfect experience for some people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that everyone should experience it once, I think.
Okay.
Where you try to swim upstream. You got to do that, because then you can't appreciate the forward-moving current, dude. You really can't. You know, if you go out and you try to talk to 100 women and you do it, you talk to 100 women, and then you come back and you go through this process, it's going to be a piece of cake for you. So it's really important to note that. And it's like – it's just such a powerful process. So that's sort of the steroids. The steroids, after you've gotten through level two and you're able to go to a bar, talk to women who are attractive, guys there that are there, and unattractive girls, all the same without any difference between all of them. You know, of course, you're not going to be bantering as much with unattractive girls. It would be bantering more with guys and attractive girls. But and during the daytime, you're able to walk up to attractive women and banter with them for 5 minutes in the beginning. You're able to go into rapport with unattractive women and then joke around with dudes and then find something interesting about old people, right, who we typically tend to dismiss. And they're like things that – there are people who get in the way for the most part. For most people in the world, an old person is someone who drives slow or walks slow or is clueless, right? And we don't look at them as being wealth, like wells of knowledge. Like they are, they have amazing amounts of knowledge, and they're super, super interesting. They've lived way longer than we have, you know. So we have to be able to look past our immediate assumption about somebody and find something interesting. Now here's what's cool. Whenever you go through the process of approaching women throughout the daytime, any attractive woman you see, if you approach her, you won't be running up to her. Your brain won't be thinking, you're running up to this chick because she's hot. What if she rejects you? It won't be thinking that. It'll go, oh, another interesting person, just like all the other hundreds of interesting people you've been talking to lately, right? It won't have any kind of red flag that throws up, and you won't have any approach anxiety, none. You will kill your approach anxiety. You will not have to worry about feeling nervous walking up to hot women anymore. But you have to maintain that. Again, if you go like 5 months without doing any of this shit at all or very little stuff, you're going to have to start back wherever you left off. Whatever feels most comfortable for you, start there and move on to the next level and go back up through this process again. And, you know, as the more you go through the process of building up and, you know, building up and going through the system over and over, level one, level two, and then bonus level, basically, as you go through this process, the faster you can go through it, the easier it gets to actually go from 0 to 60 and get back in the game. So that's sort of my 1-2 punch there. I wanted to throw on the sort of extra little, you know, the extra bonus thing that a lot of guys don't know about killing approach anxiety. But at the end of the day, this is how you create a belief that you're the kind of guy who approaches everybody that he's interested in or attracted to. And your brain will absolutely believe that. It will submit that belief, and you will not have any kind of question in your mind that's true if you do this, if you go through this process. And then when that happens and you do approach really beautiful women, you'll have absolutely no question about whether or not you're going to go up and do it. You'll have no hesitation. You'll have no nervousness. You'll have no stuttering. You'll have no what do I say, quote unquote, kind of stuff. You know, what do I say to this girl? Whenever I walk up to her, all this stuff will be taken care of. Not because you have like a list of things to say. That never really works. You want to have stuff in your back pocket just in case, but that's not really what you're looking for. Instead, you will have experience that your brain can pull on. You need to work these neural pathways again. You have to be able to pull up stuff that worked from other conversations that had happened recently and say those things, you know, like, oh, you're trouble. You know, that kind of, all these banter lines. If you don't use these banter lines with every woman that you see, then they're not going to be there in your brain for you to access later. You have to have those things in your brain ready to access. And this is the way to ensure that you do that, to make for sure that you, whenever you walk into a woman, you know what to say, you're not nervous, your brain isn't going haywire, and that you're able to actually attract her. That's how you get over it.
Wow.
Yay!
That was pretty powerful. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, after going through the sort of harder part of the breakup and, you know, using someone's advice like Dan Dennick's, you're going to be like after you get through this sort of painful process, I guess, of, you know, actually breaking up and sort of getting your place, your mind into a place of where you're ready again, this is going to be the perfect formula to getting to where you want to be, which is, you know, making new friends everywhere you go. I mean, that's a big thing. You want to feel like you're capable of more than, you know, what you had with that relationship, I
guess.
Yeah,
and you absolutely are capable of more. There's no question about that. There's absolutely no question about it.
And as you go through this process, I was just thinking about this, is that you're going to be making tons of friends. Like, you know, everyone from, you know, the unattractive girls to the guys to maybe even the old people, you know, are going to be your friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you're also going to be meeting tons of women in the process. It's just like this amazing life transformation right here that you just outlined.
You know, one of the things that I did, and I went through this process, by the way, which is how come I know it works. One of the things I did, and I don't think I ever told anybody about this, at least not on a call or any kind of recording, is that I spent about 3 weeks living with homeless people. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, I was.
I've wanted to do this though. Quite honestly, I've wanted to do this. Please tell me more.
Well, one of the things that I did, I mean, I figured that here's what happened first. When I first walked up to these homeless people, I was like, well, I met a guy where I lived in my town that I lived in, who was basically autistic. He was a homeless guy, and he was like. I start talking to him, and he'd tell me what he was thinking. I just sat down with him one day and started talking to him, and it turned out he was doing really complicated math in his head all day long. That's all he was doing. And he was determining arcs on bridges and stuff, like staring at bridges, just staring there. And he was talking to himself. But as I got closer and I sat with him, I could hear him computing, and he was doing really complicated math. And he had this massive beard. And he looked like disheveled, you know. And I was like, hey, can I get you something? And he's like, a banana would be great. You know, he didn't ask for money, didn't ask for, you know, anything else. So I started spending some time hanging out with him. And then I started hanging out with some of the other homeless people around there. And when they found out I wasn't going to give them money, then they started really being real around me. It was interesting to see their interactions with each other. I mean, of course, some of them are freaking psycho, you know. So I kind of kept my distance. But every day I went down, and there were a core group of people that were really, really cool, you know, that would just go through. I'd talk to them, and, you know, a couple of the guys would never stop trying to ask me for money.
Yeah.
You know, and they were kind of annoying. And I was like, dude, no, I'm not going to give you any money, but I am going to talk to you and hang out with you for a little while and keep you company, you know. And they would, like, try to sell me every single time, like, oh, let's go to an ATM. I really need this. My daughter's sick, like, making up stories and shit. I'm like, come on, you know. So I wouldn't hang out with those people very much. As soon as I got past that, though, I was able to hang out with these people, and it was really amazing. But at the same time, you know, looking back on it, it was pretty dangerous. I did it most of the time during the daytime, then I would slip out at night and go somewhere else because I didn't want to, like, sleep on the street and, you know, my parents worry about me because I was still going to high school at the time, you know.
Wow.
And I learned a lot from that process, man. I really did. I learned to dig deeper into someone's story to really figure out what they got and help me understand and connect with a lot of people. And people that I wouldn't normally talk to or invest any interaction with or, you know, stuff like that, and people that we typically look down to. And, you know, I feel pretty good now about, like, if I walk by a homeless person and I don't give them money, it's probably because most homeless people that I met were actually pretty shiesty. You know, they weren't like good people. They weren't trying to help other people out. But there was a handful that I ended up meeting that were just really, really awesome. And, you know, they sometimes had mental disorders. That's why they couldn't interact in public or with people in general. Or sometimes they were just down on their luck and they're just so depressed they couldn't get out of it, you know. And so they just gave up. And it was really interesting. And I just learned not to judge people very much, and it was really cool for me. I definitely carried that into my study with attracting women, you know.
That's really, like, part of the lesson that you talked about with talking to old people, of finding the interesting thing about everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Looking for value in everybody that you come across.
Yeah, and start with the people who it's hardest to see value in, you know. If it's really difficult for you to find something valuable in an old person, then start with old people, you know. Find something about old people that you can actually understand and you can find valuable, that you can find interesting, you know. And if that's, you know, if that is the case and you can do that, then, you know, you can do it with anybody. Because it's important that whenever you walk up to a chick that you're not going, oh, she's hot. That's why I'm interested. You got to go, like, what else is there? What else is there to this girl? I gotta find something else before I walk up. Because if you just walk up to a girl and go, you're hot, that works on about 3% of women. You know, they'll go, oh, thank you. You know, and usually they're not very attractive. But that's how it is. So you want to make sure, and women just think that if they're really good-looking women, they get sick of guys only being interested in their looks, you know. So you have to find something else better than that. And you want to start out by, I'm very strong from the idea, and very strong believer in the idea of training hard and fighting easy, you know. Train hard, fight easy, always. So train in an area that would be very difficult for you. And then when it comes time to actually use this concept, it'll be simple compared to trying to find the interesting thing about a senile old person, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I found. Very, very powerful. So definitely go out and do that. If you've written this down, hopefully you have written it down. If you did, take it step by step.
I wrote it down.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad you did. Take it step by step and go through, figure out where you are. Like try it. Say, okay, whatever you're working on now, whatever the thing is that you think you're working on, it's usually at the step right before that, you know? So whatever it is you can imagine yourself kind of being bad at, go to the step right before that and then work on that thing. So, for example, if you don't really feel comfortable going into a bar and talking to women, attractive women, and you don't really feel comfortable talking to unattractive women, like say that you walked into a bar and you tried it and you weren't very good at it, then kick it all the way back to talking to only guys. You know, just sort of work it backward until you figure out something that you can do. And most guys can walk into a bar and sit down and feel comfortable by themselves. They can learn to do that, but they don't know how to do that immediately. You know, so even that step is usually difficult for guys. I really strongly suggest that you start in level one, and then you move on from level one to level two. Don't start in level two like most guys want to, because when you skip it, you're not going to see the results that you want. You can skip it if you want to, but you're not going to see the results. That's how it is. So if you don't want it to work, then skip it. That's just kind of how it is. So take all those, start wherever you think you need to start here, like assess yourself, be really honest about the assessment, and then you know, just move on to the next stage. And I'm really interested to see how this affects you. And if it does work really well, hop into the members area for the Dao of Badass. If you've already bought the Dao of Badass, hop into the members area and comment and let us know how this has been going for you, because it's something that not every guy is gonna who's a member is gonna see this, is gonna listen to this audio training session here, and is going to get this one-on-one mastermind session like you did. So hop on there, tell me, you know, how it's been working, and I'll respond back and everyone will see it, dude. And I think you'll inspire a lot of people. So if you haven't gotten the Dao of Badass, get that now. I mean, you can go on the website, thedaobadass.com, and click on the book tab at the top and get a copy, because you need to get in the members area, because you'll get ongoing coaching forever as long as you're in there. So absolutely do it, and it'll help you take it to the next level. So thanks for being on this call with me, Brad. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for all the awesome information here.
Of course. And guys, look forward to seeing how this helps you. Any questions at all, post them in the members area, and I'll be more than happy to get back to you and help you sort of take it to the next level. I can't wait to see how it helps you sort of get over and really take ownership of your approach anxiety, and looking forward to talking to you again. Thanks a lot.